From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Amey Deshpande, resident fellow at the Sri Sathya Sai Center for Human Values here in Prashanti Nilayam. Prior to this, Amey had completed his Master's in Business Administration and Doctorate from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He was very actively involved with the dramatics team of the university during his student days and is also a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 31st of December 2017. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by the overseas devotees. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. With that, over to Dr. Amey Deshpande.
Invoking Swami's presence and His divine benediction on all of us and offering our million salutations at His lotus feet, most revered elders, dear brothers and sisters, a very warm and loving Sai Ram to all of you. We have come to that day of the year for doing some kind of a self-audit, to do some kind of preparation for the new year. So at the outset, let us all pray to Swami that we have a beautiful, fruitful, happy and holy 2018. Even as I was thinking about what to share with you, my mind jogged back to about 5-6 years ago, when during the months of April and May, we were all heading towards Badrinath, which is in the north of India, one of the holiest places. It is called one of the Char Dham, which is one of the most four most sacred places in the north. That is Yamunotri, Gangotri, Kedarnath and Badrinath. Extremely beautiful. If you get a chance, you must visit Badrinath and Kedarnath. And we were going as a big group of about 100 of us from Prashanti Nilayam. And Swami himself, way back in 1968, had been to Badrinath. And so we wanted to follow the same route that Swami had followed. So Swami had been to Haridwar and then to Rishikesh, and then from Rishikesh to Rudraprayag, and so on and so forth, Joshimath and then Badrinath. And we wanted this to be like a retreat, a spiritual retreat. So every day, you know, it was more than a picnic, it was like a retreat for all of us. So we have fun, but, you know, we also have satsangs. So we had invited one Swamiji, Swami Anubhavananda, a very, very well-known and very respected Swamiji, who is a devotee of Bhagwan also. He comes very often to Prashanti Nilayam. And it so happened that we met him during the birthday celebrations the previous year. And so we immediately asked him, Swamiji, would you be free to travel with us for about 15 days? And we would like you to speak on various topics of your interest every day for an hour. And he is a very famous and a very sought after Swamiji. And so he said, okay, let me just look at my calendar and I'll get back to you. So we had gone to visit him and he pulled out his, you know, he's a Swamiji. In all spirit, he is belongs to the ancient heritage, but in all practice, he is as modern as, you know, we can think of. So he pulled out his iPad, okay, and he was, you know, going through his calendar. He's very sought after. He gives speeches all over the world, in fact. And so he showed us his calendar. He said, oh, okay, so this day, this day, this day. As we were looking at his calendar, one thing very fascinating struck us. So, you know, we name our calendars, right? Like, for example, next year, we will say it is the year of human values, for example, right? Or we say that, I remember, I think from the 70th birthday to the 75th birthday of Bhagwan, were the 5 years of human values. Okay, so the year of Satya, the year of Dharma, etc., etc. We noticed that Swamiji had a very strange and very intriguing name for his calendar. You know, what did he call his calendar? His calendar was called Time Pass 2014. You know, and it was such a, the moment we saw his calendar and we saw it, it was on top, it was written time pass, you know. So we couldn't hold back our intrigue, and so we asked, Swamiji, how is this name? He says, yeah, what else do we have to do in this life? Isn't it to pass time? You know, and from a person who is so well versed, so Bhagavad Gita, the 700 shlokas are at the tip of his tongue, you know. He is so learned, he knows all the Upanishads, he can quote from all the Brahma Sutras, okay, and such an erudite scholar, his calendar's name is Time Pass. So I said, like, you know, can you throw a little light on this? And, you know, that is when, of course, the serious side of Swamiji came. He's a very jovial Swamiji, but the serious side, he said, while everything is definitely time pass, you should know how to pass that time. Isn't it? For most of us, every day is like, we get up in the morning, as Swami would often say, khana, peena, sona, marna. Means eating, drinking, sleeping, and dying. That is the purpose of most of the people's life. Right? But he was saying that, I always remind myself that I am only a visitor on earth. And just like, you know, we take a big long vacation, and what do we do during our vacation? Just spend time. We just have fun. Similarly, if we are constantly able to remind ourselves that we are only visitors on earth, right, then we will be able to better celebrate life. Life will become a joy and a celebration. But what, you know, kind of caught me was this thought which he said, what we have to do is know how to pass our time so that it becomes a good time pass, right? So I was just thinking that as we are looking to this new year, that year of 2018, all of us are pretty much going to do that, right? We all are going to make our resolutions for tomorrow. Okay, how is 2018 going to look like? Right? What are the resolutions that I'm going to take? What kind of time pass am I going to do in this next 1 year? And even as I was thinking about it, in fact, today is Sunday, so the 1st of January happens to be a Monday. So it's also the beginning of the week. Okay, so it's a perfect thing to plan out, you know, what you really want to do. My mind went back to another person who had to pass his time. Okay, and that was the famous King Parikshit. He had never quite seen Lord Krishna, who was like his grand father, but his birth itself was a miracle, was a very fascinating miracle. Most of us know the story of at the end of the Mahabharata war, it so happened that one of the few survivors from the Kaurava clan, which is the villain camp, was Ashwatthama, and he wanted to destroy the Pandavas, but he knew that Krishna will not allow that to happen. And so he wanted to destroy the generations that will follow the Pandavas. And the only living generation was King Parikshit, who was a baby in the womb of Uttara. And so he used his Brahmastra, okay, to, you know, target Parikshit, who was in the womb, to finish off the womb. That is what the story is. And it is said that Lord Krishna appeared in the womb of Uttara and saved King Parikshit. And this little Parikshit had seen Lord Krishna in the womb. And so when the baby came out and he started living in this world, it so happened, it seems, Swami also writes in Bhagavata Vahini, that he would keep, on whosoever lap he would go, he would keep looking at them. He would keep looking at the person on whose lap he was put, wondering, is this the person whom I saw? Okay, who saved my life? And it was only when he got on the lap of Lord Krishna that he made his first sound. Because he knew that this is the person who, and because he would examine everybody, that is why his name was Parikshit, because Parikshit actually means Pariksha, which means examination, right? So his name became Parikshit because he would examine everything. Of course, this king went on to rule, you know, they say the Bharat Varsha, that is the kingdom, for several decades. Extremely pious and virtuous, and all the good qualities that we can think of were in him. But his end was a very tragic one. Okay, do you know about the story of, maybe most of you over here know, I'll very quickly narrate. So it so happened that it was the end of what we call as the Dwapara age and the beginning of the Kali age. Okay, so it is said that the what should I say, the time of Kali, which was came in the form of a being, he wanted to now enter into the kingdom of Parikshit, the Hastinapur kingdom, because he said, it's my time now, it's a time for me to enter into this kingdom. But he was not allowed, because Kali stands for everything which is negative, right? So they say that with the dawn of Kali age, there will be more, there'll be a fall in dharma and there'll be more unrighteousness. And so King Parikshit did not want Kali age to enter into his kingdom. So it is said that this Kali went and spoke to Parikshit and says, you can't stop me like this. I mean, I've got a free visa, right? I mean, this is my time on earth and I have to enter. So he says, okay, so you cannot stay in wealth, you cannot stay in families. He gives him several conditions of where he should not stay. So Kali says, okay, so give me a place where I can stay, right? You're telling me I can't stay here, I can't stay there. And it so happened that Kali asks, can I stay in gold? Gold. And King Parikshit said, okay, yeah, that's fine. I think that should be fine. So you can stay in gold. But little did he realize that the crown that he wears is made of gold, and it was Kali who came and resided in the crown. And the story goes that on one day when Parikshit was had gone into the forest, to hunt and get a catch, and it so happened that he was very thirsty, and he's dying out of thirst. He notices a hermitage nearby. He goes to the hermitage asking for water, but he notices that one of the great rishis is lost in meditation as he enters. And so he accosts the sage saying, give me water, why are you wasting your time meditating? Now this is something that King Parikshit would definitely not do. Right, he's such a virtuous person, he knows exactly what is happening, but it is called the Kali Prabhava, which is the influence of this time, which is sitting on his head. And when he notices that the sage does not pay any attention to, the king's arrival, he gets very angry and he takes a dead snake which is lying nearby and he puts it around, the sage who is lost in meditation, saying that, your condition is that of a dead snake. You don't even bother to know that the king has come, into your hermitage, and this is an insult to me. It so happens that, of course, he leaves from there, and then his son, the sage's son, comes over there and he notices this ghastly, work which has been done, and he wonders who has done this. And the sage's son is also a realized soul. So he does an action replay and he comes to know that it is the king who has done this. And he curses the king, saying that the same snake which you have put around my father's neck, okay, will come and bite you and finish you off in 7 days. Okay, and the king is unaware of it, but the king comes to know, and immediately the moment the curse is being spelled out, the father gets up, the sage, he gets up and he notices, and he's such an advanced soul, he says, he looks around, he just takes it out and throws it, and he says, what have you done, my son? Do you know who has done it? So he says, yes, I know, it is King Parikshit. Do you know how great he is? He is the only survivor of the great legacy of the Pandavas and Lord Krishna. And how could you curse him? And how could you curse to finish him off? And he says, oh, but I've already spelled the curse. I don't know what else to do now. So he says, go back and give him a solution now. And tell him that this is what has happened. So he goes back to the kingdom and he tells the king, King Parikshit, that I'm sorry, I have cursed you and you have only 1 week to live. Right? Just imagine if we were told that we have 1 week to live, and that's exactly what I was thinking. What do we do? The moment King Parikshit understands that he has a week to live, he sacrifices everything. He gives up his entire kingdom. Okay, and he goes and falls at the feet of Lord Shuka. A little boy, even Lord Shuka's story is a very beautiful one. I think I'm more going into the Bhagavata part because it is so beautiful. But he says, Lord, I have come to your feet. Okay, now tell me what I'm supposed to do. I have 1 week. Right? And there are so many commentaries which are written on Bhagavata which says that, King Parikshit was so lucky that he knew that he had at least 1 week. How many of us know that we have even 1 week left? Right? We think that we have about 3 decades left and probably even a century left. Right? King Parikshit was the only one who knew that he had at least 1 week, which means definitely for 1 week he's not going to die. Okay, so he asks, he says, I have 1 week left. What do I do? And that is the genesis of the Bhagavata Purana, the story of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. And it is said that amongst all the stories, the Bhagavata Purana is the most significant. It is said, in fact, that the very fact that I am able to say Bhagavata right now and you are able to hear the word Bhagavata is because of the merit of your past births, is the merit of our past births. That is how significant they say is Bhagavata Purana. And it is said that Lord Shuka, so just to give you a genesis of the Bhagavata Purana, have you heard of sage Vedavyasa? Right? So sage or Bhagavan Vedavyasa is considered to be one of the iconic figures of the Sanatana Dharma, because it is said that all the knowledge that was known to mankind, which is in the form of Vedas, was all available, right? But it had to be structured and segregated and categorized. So, for example, we all go to school, right? The moment we go to school, they don't start teaching us trigonometry, or they don't start teaching us atoms and atomic, right? There is a structure to how we learn everything in our lives. Similarly, all of this knowledge had to be structured properly. All of it was available. They say that the Vedas are the very breath of God. So all of it was available. But now how do I disseminate it to mankind? Right? So it was Lord Vedavyasa who structured the entire Vedas into 4 categories, which is the Rig Ved, Yajur Ved, Sama Ved and Atharva Ved. So he was one of the first, I would say, authors of what we call today as Wikipedia. Right? So Wikipedia is also structured knowledge. He was the original Wikipedia. Right? He's the one who structured all the Vedas and all the Shastras and all the Brahma Sutras and the Upanishads, and all of that was structured by Vedavyasa. Imagine what a phenomenal, person he must be. You know, what eruditeness and what scholarship he must be having to have done all of this. And it was he who was also the author of what is called the 5th Veda, which is Mahabharata. The story of Mahabharata is considered to be the 5th Panchama Veda, because they say that whatever you find in this world ever is there in Mahabharata, and what is not there in Mahabharata you will not find in this world. That is how comprehensive, Mahabharata is. So Mahabharata is like a story, is the story of, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, etc., etc. But the subtleties of human thought, for example, today they say that Shakespeare, right, in the Western philosophy or in the Western literature, Shakespeare is someone who understood the subtlety of human emotion. And it is through his plays that you can see the subtlety of emotions such as greed and jealousy. And that's why they remain evergreen. They remain green forever. They remain fresh forever. Even 100 years later, if we were to read a Macbeth, or if we were to read, any of his plays, you will still see the subtlety, the freshness of the idea, because he touched upon the very fundamental human emotions, such as greed and ambition and jealousy and power struggle and etc., etc. Right? So they say that someone like Charles Dickens and Richard Tolkien and Shakespeare were some of the best authors of that time. For us, it was Bhagavan Vedavyas who was probably the most phenomenal author, because of how complex this Mahabharata is, the epic. Right? The reason I'm telling you all of this is because after writing all of this, Vedavyasa found himself extremely unhappy and sorrowful. Just imagine, you have just done what no other human being has done on earth, which is categorized all of knowledge. You have written one of the iconic legendary stories of all time. Okay, you are the most famous person on earth, and yet you are unhappy. Does that ring a bell? I mean, does that not happen with everybody in this world, all those who have achieved a lot? And it is said, in fact, the Bhagavata Purana starts with the story of Vedavyasa, that Bhagavan Vedavyas was sitting on the banks of river Saraswati, dejected and in sorrow. And Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, comes to meet Vedavyasa and wonders, "Hey, friend, what happened to you? Why are you so sad? Why are you so dejected?" And Vedavyasa says, "You know what? I don't know why I'm dejected. I don't know what is the cause of my dejection." And immediately Lord Brahma understands. And he says, "Isn't it strange that after categorizing all of Vedas and writing the Mahabharata, you still find yourself in this pitiable condition?" And Vedavyasa says, "Yeah. You know, I am in such a terrible, pitiable condition. I don't know why I am in such a condition, in spite of writing Mahabharata, which is also the story of Lord Krishna." And then it was Lord Brahma who tells Vedavyasa, he tells him, "My friend, your problem is that every time you wrote the Mahabharata and every time you wrote the characters of each one of the actors in that play or in the story of Mahabharata, you became that person. For example, when you wrote Duryodhana's dialogues, you became Duryodhana. When you wrote Shakuni's dialogues, you became Shakuni. When you wrote Yudhishthira's dialogues, you became Yudhishthira. So you went through the ups and downs of each one of the characters. And that is why you are not finding fulfillment. Because you experienced joy, you also experienced sorrow, and you experienced all of the emotions that were going on in each one of the characters. Right? So you experienced jealousy and greed and power struggle and all of that which is described in Mahabharata. And that is why you are not happy." And then Vedavyasa wonders, "Okay, so what's the solution?" He says, "Now what you need to do is soak yourself in absolute joy and the sweetness, the nectarous story of the Lord. And therefore, write the story of the Lord, which is the Bhagavata Purana." And it is said that it is only after writing the Bhagavata Purana that Vedavyasa actually got peace of mind. Okay. And it is this same Bhagavata Purana which was told to Parikshit as a solution for his 7-day, you know, most of us, we have diets for 7 days, you know, and we have all sorts of 7-day remedies. If you probably walk into a library, you will find learn Telugu in 7 days, learn Spanish in 7 days, or some such kind of thing, right? Parikshit had to learn the solution to his life in 7 days. Okay, and it was only through singing the glory and hearing the glory of the Lord. It is said that, the name of the snake which came and bit him was called Takshaka, right? He was cursed to be bitten and finished off by this snake called Takshaka. It is said that after 7 days, did the Takshaka come and kind of, you know, bite him? Yes, it did. But did he feel the pain? No, he did not, because he had already left the body after hearing the story, the glory of the Lord. So the reason I am telling you all of this, and the reason I thought I'll share this, is we each one of us, the story of King Parikshit is very, very much like our own stories, right? He was the richest person on earth. He had all the wealth that he could think of. He had all the scholarship that one could attain. He had achieved everything. He was from a great grand family, right? He had all the sages and saints around him. And yet, he made this mistake. Same is the case with us. Right? We have everything available to us right now, right here, at our fingertips. And yet, there is some path that we are losing, or there is some path we are missing out on. Okay? And it is this story of Parikshit which tells us. So I was thinking that, just imagine, from tomorrow we are starting the new year. It starts on a Monday. And how many days do we have? We also have only 7 days. Only thing is, it keeps repeating again and again. Right? So it starts from Monday, it ends on Sunday, and then again it starts on Monday. So we each one of us also have only 7 days. It's just that we have 52 cycles of 7 days, after which 1 year gets over, right? And then again the cycle starts, right? How best can we use our 7 days? And I was just thinking about what a Swami told us about how we can use our 7 days. So each one of us is a Parikshit over here. We are examining life. We are examining the solution to life. We want a destination, right? I often say that, you know, oftentimes you get into a car, or for that matter, if you don't know a place, what do? You just pull out your phone and you switch on Google Maps, right? And you know the direction to get there, right? What about the journey of the soul, right? We need a GPS for our soul also, right? Over several hundreds and thousands of lifetimes, we have been meandering, and we have some goal in our mind, or in our soul has a goal, but what about the GPS? The GPS does a very beautiful thing, right? The GPS also tells us how we have traveled so far and what are the easiest paths to reach, correct? So for me, I call our spiritual GPS as God positioning systems, right? Not geopolitical or geophysical, whatever it's called, right? How do we position ourselves to know where I want to go? How can we best utilize the 7 days that have been given to us? And I thought I will share with you my own thoughts and what we can do as the 7 day diet, or the 7 day, you know, practice that we can have for ourselves. Swami gives us 7 words, okay? And very easy to remember the 7 words. Of course, they are in Sanskrit, but the meanings, they actually rhyme. Okay, they have a beautiful alliteration, which is how Swami would often say. The words are vichar, uchar, achar, ahar, vihar, samskar, sakshatkar. Easy? Once again, very simple. Vichar, uchar, achar, ahar, vihar, samskar, sakshatkar. Right? I'll tell you the meanings of each of this, then it will become even more simple and easy for you to remember. So this is what, so Monday, so let us decide from now and let's take it up like an experiment, okay, for the next 52 cycles of this 7 days, okay, is that every day we will give importance to each one of them, only one per day, okay. The first one is vichar. Vichar means thoughts, okay. So Monday we will dedicate it to thoughts, okay? And the beauty of where we find ourselves is that all of this has been practiced and has been recorded in Swami's life. So when he says his life is his message, we can take bits and pieces of his own life, okay, and implement it and check it out. See, Swami would often say, right, don't believe, come, see, examine, experience, and then believe whether I am God or not, right? So let's do that, since he has told us to examine him. So let us say, you know, oftentimes we hear this, we tell ourselves, or you know, a lot of people tell us, you know, Swami's teachings, no, are not practical. We have to give a practical tinge to Swami's teachings, right? Oftentimes we say, see, love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. It's not practical. No, when I hear this, I tend to feel it's like saying we believe that he has created the world, but having created the world, now he doesn't know how to run it. You know, somewhere along the way, Swami, you know, you created the world, chand aur suraj tumne banaye, nadiya sagar tumne banaye, lekin banane ke baad, or after having made it, no, you don't know the rules, you know. Come to us, we will teach you the rules of the game. It is, you know, how can we say that Swami's teachings are not practical? Right? Isn't he the one who has created the world, and therefore shouldn't he be the one who also gives the manual along with it? Right? For example, you go and buy a Dell laptop, or for that matter, you buy an iPhone. Along with an iPhone, a manual comes. Do you go back and say that, okay, you know, Apple, you have manufactured the iPhone, but you don't know how the iPhone works? They'll be like, what? I'm the one who made it, okay? I know exactly how it works. Right? And this is the manual along with it. And can we say therefore that I don't believe in the manual? Because I don't think you know how this works. Right? We are stupid if we think of it. Right? So here is Swami who's created the world, and from time to time he comes and gives us the user manual. Okay, this is the world, this is this machinery, I'm giving you the user manual to figure out how to, you know, run this world. And we look at that user manual and say, no, this is not practical. Okay, and we have created our own user manuals. Okay, and what happens? It becomes more and more complicated. When we use our user manuals with that machine, the machine which we have not created, okay, because we don't know. The beauty of this machine is, we are in the machine. How are we going to know how the machine works? If you want to know how the machine works, you have to come outside the machine, isn't it? Which means you have to go beyond the world to know how the world works. You can't be in the world to know how the world works. Right? Is this okay? I mean, does this make sense? Do you agree with me? You can challenge me if you want to. We'll come back to that. I've got half an hour more. Yes. Right? So basically what I'm giving you in this 7 is the user manual. Okay? And let's test this user manual. Right? Two in our day-to-day life. Right? So the first manual is our thoughts. Vichar stands for our thoughts. Right? When we look at Swami's life, we get to know each of these, you know, how Swami would think. For example, I think this, if I can sum up all of Swami's thoughts into one word, I would say it is sensitivity. Right? Just be sensitive to everything and everyone around us. For example, you know, when we would enter into the interview room, okay, or oftentimes when we would see Swami come out for darshan, we would always notice that, you know, Swami's room lights would be off. In fact, one day, Swami came out for, he was talking to all of us, and we noticed that Swami's eyes were red. One of his eyes was red. So we all, you know, we were all small boys, so we were all wondering, what happened to Swami's eye, you know? And so so someone took the courage to ask, Swami, your eye is red, Swami. And Swami said, oh, that, a little soap went into my eye when I was washing my face. Okay, and so we all kind of laughed. But Swami just went on to say that, you know, when I wash my face, no, I switch off the tap. Okay, and therefore, after I apply soap, I need to open the eye a little bit to see where the tap is. Okay, and that is why, that's when the soap went into my eye, and that's why my eye is red. But what he said was more, I mean, what he said after this was more beautiful. He said, you all keep the tap open while washing your face. See, you're wasting water. Right? Here was the Lord of the universe who can create water. He is the creator of all elements. Okay, he is teaching us a little bit of sensitivity. Right? That water is precious. Can we close the tap while we are... Ever since that day, every time I wash my face, you know, I switch off the tap. In fact, when somebody else is washing their face also, I feel like... You know, it got ingrained, right? Every moment, it's unbelievable when we look at Swami's own life. When he would come out for darshan, you know, one day we noticed that there was a little blood coming out from one of his, you know, toenails. And so again, one of the boys asked Swami, you know, why did you cut your nail so deep? And Swami said, no, because, you know, thousands of devotees touch my feet. Their hands should not get hurt when they are taking Padnamaskar. That is why I cut my nails deep. We would want to be that nail, right, of his feet. Right? But that is the compassion, the sensitivity of the Lord. Right? Because it comes from the kind of thoughts that he has. His thought is all the time about, how can I do good for others? How can I do something beneficial for others? So the first, that is vichar, can we also implement this little thing in our life, which is to be sensitive all the time. Sensitive to time, to others, you know, likes or dislikes, to our own, you know, what we want from our own life, right? Am I wasting my time? Am I wasting somebody else's time? So I thought, you know, if we were to take one leaf out of Swami's life about how he would think, it is sensitivity. So let's move on to the second. So if Monday, let us, let's try this. From tomorrow onwards, for the whole day, let me start looking at my thoughts. Let me just witness my thoughts. And think about how many times I thought about others and how many times I thought about myself. Right, where I put myself first, right, Swami would often say in joy, J-O-Y, if you want joy in life, then Jesus first, others next, yourself last, J-O-Y. Swami would often say that. Let's try that from tomorrow. Right, God first in our thoughts, others next in our thoughts, ourselves last in our thoughts. Let's move to the next one. So that is vichar, thoughts. Uchar means words. Right, so it is the thoughts which get translated into words. Right, Swami's words. What can we, what can we learn from his words? I remember this was shared by one of our professors with us. So not all the people who teach in the university or who taught in the university were always Sai devotees. So when the university had first began, invitations went out to everybody to apply for the university for, you know, positions of professors, law professor, commerce, etc., etc. So one of the persons who is still over here, he had applied. He had no idea about what he was getting into. He has no idea who Satya Sai Baba is, etc., etc. He himself was telling us that he was the biggest rogue and rowdy that you can think of. Okay, he had this huge long mush. So when he came here, and it so happened that he got selected. After his interview, he was selected, to teach political science in Prashantinilayam. So, he packed his bags and he came to Prashantinilayam, and on the first day, somebody told him, you have to go into the mandir because Baba will give darshan. And so he was like, is this a part of my contract? do I have to go and have his darshan? I came here to be a teacher, right? What's got darshan to do with teaching? So he said, no, he's the guy who started the institute. you better go and at least show your face to him. So he himself was telling us this. So it was that which brought him to mandir. Okay, and that's where he also found the principal of the campus sitting over there. And so he reported to the principal saying, I am the guy for the political science, the principal was a very elderly man of 80, he was sitting over there, and he told him, okay, sit down here, it was just time for Swami to come out for darshan. And Swami came out of darshan, and Swami just beckoned to the principal, and Swami was in 1980, I think Swami was 55 years old, So, a 55-year-old man calling an 80-year-old principal, just like this. And, this professor who was telling us the story, he said, I saw this principal jump out of his chair and run towards Swami. Okay, and he was saying, what happened to this guy? You're 80, man. Okay, means he was saying, who's this person who just calls like this and people run to him, So he saw this professor, this principal running to Swami, and Swami gave him some instructions, and he came back and he sat and he looked at the professor behind this gentleman and told him, Swami was asking about you. Okay. who is he, when did he come, what is he going to teach, etc., etc. So he said, my first few days in Prashantinilayam, I saw people only running. So I was wondering, who is this Satya Sai Baba and what control he would have, Now, this sir was saying that he had a habit of smoking. Okay. And he would smoke. Okay. And people had told him, you can't smoke. You can't smoke in the ashram. Okay. And so he would go back to his room, and in the bathroom, he would smoke because it was his addiction. And one morning, early morning at 5 o'clock, Swami Karunyananda, I don't know whether you've heard of his name, he was someone who lived with Bhagwan. He also, the same residence with Swami, Swami Karunyananda would also stay. Swami had sent Swami Karunyananda to meet this person to explain to him that he should not smoke. So just imagine, early morning, there's a knock on the door, professor opens, and Swami Karunyananda is standing there. So he says, what brings you this early in the morning? So he said, see Babu, don't smoke. Swami knows it, that you are smoking. And this sir tells us, very, very amusingly, he tells, He said, okay, have you finished? You have given all your instruction, you may go. He tells Swami Karunanda, you may go now. And Swami Karunanda is this how you speak? He said, see, I get salary because I teach. I use my money to buy my cigarettes. Okay, I will do whatever I want with my money. You please don't tell me how I am supposed to use my salary. Okay, so Swami, just imagine Swami Karunanda was flabbergasted. He says, okay Babu, if you want, you can smoke, but not in the ashram. So, because ashram has rules. So this professor was saying that, okay, that is correct. I agree with you. Don't tell me what I should do with my money. But yeah, because I stay in the ashram, this ashram belongs to you, and so therefore you can tell me what I'm supposed to do. So this professor would go outside, you know, outside the Ganesh gate and smoke and come back. Okay. So just imagine people like Swami Karunananda, and then Swami had sent the then secretary of the ashram, Mr. Kutumbarao, also to explain to him, and all of that had not had any impact on our professor. One day, professor was sitting in darshan. Okay, it was one of his first few days. You know, he had no idea who is Swami or. And Swami walks up to him in darshan and just tells him, Meeru yela unnaru, Swami asks. Okay, which is, in Telugu, it's a very respectful way of asking. You know, so in English we have only you, right? But in our vernacular, we have two words. We have one which is out of respect, like, sir, how do you do, sir? You know, Swami is asking this new professor, sir, how do you do? And the sir says, I replied to Bhagwan, Nenu bagunnanu, I am fine. Meeru yella unnaru, means, sir, how do you do? Okay. And Swami just put his, you know, kind of just patted, saying, you know, you don't know how to talk to me. Okay. And when Swami patted him, he thought even he should pat Swami. Okay, so he almost got up to pat Swami, and Swami immediately held his hand. Okay, and then Swami very gently in his ear, you know, told him, Bangaru, that is my golden, my most beloved dear one, smoking is not good for your health. Do you know your father has died because of tobacco, and your brother is also going to die because of this? It is for your benefit only I am telling, don't smoke. Rest, it is in your hands. And Swami walked away. Needless to say, that day was the last day that this professor smoked in his life. And what he was telling us is that, just imagine, he saw the difference in which how others had communicated to him. Here was the founder of this ashram. I mean, forget he is God or not, you know. Here is the chancellor of a university, the founder of this ashram, who is very, very humbly coming and suggesting to me, you know, suggesting to me that I am not telling because, you know, it is, you are disturbing the ashram. I am telling you because it is not good for you. And that is where, you know, he also knew the omniscience of Swami. He also experienced the omniscience because he hadn't told Swami about his father, but his father had told his father had actually had lost his life to cancer. Right? So he says, when I was thinking about this thing, maybe only the master can speak such beautifully, so nectarous words. But can we also do it? Because Swami often would tell us, right, if you cannot oblige, so you need not oblige always. But we can always speak obligingly. Especially I feel in our ashram, we definitely can speak obligingly. Right? If we believe that, you know, Swami is the resident of our hearts and is the resident of all the hearts out there, then would we not want to speak beautifully and nectarously with everyone who comes in our ambit? Right? So, in a sense, because Swami lives in Prashantindilayam, but Swami has also said that this heart is his Prashantindilayam. Right, so therefore this body is an ashram. Correct? So in this ashram, we always speak obligingly. Right? So from these words, we speak always. So it is not necessary. See, Swami has been so compassionate to us. He is telling us, you don't need to oblige. If somebody comes and asks you, you know, can you do this for me? You don't have to do it. But you can at least tell him very, very sweetly, you can tell him. Very lovingly you can tell him, sorry sir, I can't do it. And these are Swami's words, right? So Uchchar. So Tuesdays, we will keep it for good words. Mondays, we don't need to practice good words. You can be as rash as you want. But Tuesdays, can we practice, you know, good words, right? So Vichar, Uchchar, the next is Achar. Achar is actions. So thoughts, words and deeds. So Wednesdays, we will keep it for action. Right? Again, what do we realize from Swami's life? The reason I'm telling you, because I can always kind of break out into a sermon, but the most beautiful is when we narrate Swami stories. Right? It is a beautiful way of reminding ourselves also of how sweet this Lord was, or the Lord is, in fact. And this is nothing but Sai Bhagavatam. Right? If Bhagavata is the story of the Lord, then what we are doing over here is nothing but narrating the story of the Lord, and right? So what can we learn from His actions? His actions were always about putting others first. Okay, I recollect one of the days I was in, I used to be a Sevadal, right, wearing one of those blue scarves. And I was doing duty in Trai Brindavan, which is Swami's residence in Bangalore. And so the problem with that, the Swami's mandir over there, is that there are hundreds and thousands of flowers, okay, and monkeys come and pull out these flowers to eat them, right, and it destroys the garden. So Swami's garden is destroyed because monkeys just come and, you know, pull out. So one of our duties in the afternoon is to ensure that monkeys don't come there. Okay, so that was my duty. And in fact, for a long time it was called monkey duty. Right? So we were called monkey boys, in fact. Okay, because our job was to, you know, ensure that monkeys don't come over there. The other thing that monkeys would do is when Swami would call devotees for interview, you know, the devotees will be carrying mats and all that, with that, right? So just before entering the interview room, they will leave their mats and go into the interview room. These monkeys will come and take the mats and go off. You know, so our job was to ensure that the devotees' mats and all were, you know, intact. So that was the two duties that we were to do. So we were called monkey boys. Little did we know that we were pretty much that only in the rest of our ride. So one afternoon I was doing this duty, and this, you know, this big herd of monkeys came to pull out these flowers, and it was pin drop silence. And so, you know, I went, I was doing, you know, those monkeys have seen hundreds of me, like me, you know, wearing blue scarves. So they were like, kind of scorning back at me. And my ego was hurt, you know, how dare these guys to not scared of me. So I went to get a stick. Okay, so I charged at them with a stick, and suddenly I hear one voice, hey. Okay, and I'm wondering where this is coming from. And I look up, and from Swami's bedroom, Swami's telling me, hey, you! As if I'm a monkey there. Okay, he's telling me, shh! Okay, go back. And I was shocked. I thought, is this not my duty? So of course, I saw Swami over there, and so I went back and kept my stick back, and these monkeys had a fantastic time. You know, the different delicious flowers all of them had. The whole thing was destroyed, of course. Later on, we only had to clean it up. That even afternoon, Swami came down for darshan, and as he was going into Sai Ramesh Hall, I was standing on the path, and he comes up to me and he says, what were you doing in the afternoon? So I told Swami, I was driving away the monkeys. And then Swami says, just very casually, he says, those flowers are meant for them only. You know? And I was like, no, but the more I think about that, you know, it is, here is a Lord who is able to identify with the hunger of a monkey. Because for him, this entire universe is his child. He is the mother of this entire universe. Right? So for him, whether a monkey eats or we eat, it's the same. Right? And in fact, therefore he tells us, think, you are not a monkey. You are God. Right? Don't behave like a monkey. In fact, I am very tempted to narrate this very beautiful incident. One of Swami's very close attendants who was with Swami for many, many years. And this is a very old story, goes back to the 1970s. So, you know, when you live with Swami, when you are in very close proximity with Swami, his maya his illusion is also very high. So you kind of all the time forget that this is God. So one day Swami asked this person to get coffee for him. Swami said, hey, go get me coffee. And it so happened that the previous day in the discourse, Swami had talked about sense control. Okay? And this person was thinking in his mind, as he was going to the kitchen to make coffee, he was thinking, yesterday only Swami spoke about sense control. Today Swami is not able to control his thirst for, you know, he's thinking about Swami. You know, the person cannot control his thirst for coffee, spoke about sense control yesterday. He's thinking about Swami. Anyway, he came and put the glass. Okay. Swami got up, went outside the old bungalow. The Trai Brindavan was not there then. And in his hand were a few peanuts. Okay. His hand was fistful of peanuts. And he went out and he stood out over there. Okay. And he called all the monkeys which were on the trees. And what happened after this was a sight for everybody to see, because all the monkeys came up to Swami in a row. They all stood in a row and all of them picked up one peanut each from Swami's hand and ate it. And so everybody was watching this, and it is pretty miraculous, right? To see monkeys standing in a line. I mean, we don't stand in a line, right? All monkeys stood in line and all of them, each one took one and went. Okay, and this boy who was serving Swami, this gentleman, was standing behind and watching this, okay, this beautiful sight. And obviously, you know, thinking about Swami's glory, etc., etc. And after this entire distribution had done, Swami just turned back and looked at him and said, I can control monkeys, but I cannot control your monkey mind. Right? And it was in that moment that he understood what he had thought of. Here are we trying to judge God, God's actions. Okay. Swami is telling us, I can control monkeys, but I cannot control your monkey mind. That only you have to do. Right? That is how powerful our mind is. Right? So it is about the third one, and I'm left with only 5 minutes, so I'll quickly go through the other four. Right? So vichar, uchar, achar. The next one is ahar. Ahar means our inputs, right? What food we take in. And by food, Swami always would say it is not just the physical food that we partake, but all our senses are all the time taking in inputs. So our eyes are also in a way eating, our ears are also eating, our nose is also eating, our touch is also eating, right? There are inputs going. What are the kind of inputs that we should be taking, right? That is something that, so I'll just give you only one thing that, you know, all of us, we love entertainment, right? Is there anybody who doesn't love entertainment? For many people, this itself is entertainment, right? 10:30 to 11:30, nothing else to do, you know, just step into the satsang hall and some guy will talk for some time, right? So, all of us are so busy on our phones, right, YouTube, so much of entertainment is available. In our hostel, when we wanted to, so we virtually have no, you know, only newspapers were allowed for a very long time in our hostel. There was no other form of entertainment. Even if it was music, it would be only bhajans and no other music, you know. So the boys obviously were a little, students being students, they went and said, Swami, can we watch movies? Okay, and Swami said, yeah, sure, I'll also come and watch with you. And Swami would show Bhakta Prahlada and Sant Sakubai and all of that. And like, here also this kind of movies. Swami, we want to watch some little action movies and, you know, some comedy and all of that. So it took several years, of course, you know, for Swami to allow movies in the hostel. But, you know, when Swami is... He's a mother, right? He knows what is there. He knows that, yeah, you know what, if I create this kind of a regiment for these people, nobody will come to me. No, you should not do this. You should not, don't watch this, don't see this. Nobody will say, no need, dear God, you can be where you are, you know. Because we believe, we want him to be only in the church or only in the mandir. If he starts interfering in my day-to-day life, I'll have problems. I won't be able to do so many things, right? So we just want him to be there. You know, Swami, you be in Prashanthi Nilayam, I will come and see you. You don't come and see me. You know? Anyway, so when the students went and asked Swami, can we watch movies? Many years later, Swami's explanation was very simple and very profound. And I feel this is pretty much the bedrock of our lives. He said, entertainment should be that which is elevating. He used this word called elevating. Right? Which means, take up any entertainment. Before the entertainment, if you were over here, at the end of that, are you here or are you here? Ask yourself that. So, use this bedrock for anything that we watch. Right? We are going to watch a movie. At the end of the movie, do I find myself here or do I find myself here? If I find myself over here, no use. Right? Why am I doing entertainment? So there are two words that Swami used, elevating and refining. That entertainment which refines me is good entertainment. Right? Because all the time culture is about refinement. So why, for example, why did Swami create such a beautiful mandir for us and all of these talks? Right? All this is also entertainment, right? Anything which goes through senses is entertainment. Simple. Right? But if that entertainment is refinement, it's good entertainment. It is desirable entertainment. Right? Therefore, Swami also would ask us to watch Bhakta Prahlada. Good entertainment. It refines. Right? So, this is one thumb rule that we can have for ourselves. Right? So, Thursdays can be spent in good entertainment. Good ahara. Right? So, then Friday we will come to vihara. Vihara means ambience or where we stay. Right? In fact, Swami was mentioning that if we look after these five, which is vichara, uchara, achara, ahara and vihara, we will never have disease. There will be no disease in our life. Physical or mental disease. All of disease, the core of all diseases is because of the imbalance of these five. Right? So the last of that is ahara, which is our place. Okay, and because we have kind of almost run out of time, I'll just give you the last two, which is samskara. Okay, the Saturday, what is for Saturdays? Samskara, which means impression. Impression means, what is it that I'm going to impress myself with? Right? Out of all of these first five, which is vichara, achara, uchara, ahara and vihara, what is the impact it is having on me? And how am I able to manifest that impact? So, a lot of people say, Swami, I've been meditating for 20 years, nothing happened to me. Right? I have been attending bhajans for 30 years. Right? Many people, when we tell, when some seniors who have been coming to Prashanthi Nilayam from 1960s and 70s, they come and they tell us a very nice statement, Your age is my experience with Swami, they will tell. kind of mocking us, saying that don't think you are some big singers and all. Your age is my experience with Swami. Means, even when you were not born, since then I am coming to Swami. Many of our seniors will tell us like that. Right? But at the end of the day, what is the impact it is having? Even if I can come once to Prashanthi Nilayam, right? I know of several people who have not been devotees for a long time. Who have been devotees, probably they have come once in their entire lifetime. But their entire life is transformed after that. Because that impression that they have created out of, from what they have learned is been tremendous. It is life changing. Right? Is that the kind of impact that we are going to have with our, in our company or in our association with Swami? Right? That is something that we need to ask ourselves every Saturday. Right? Let's keep Saturday for that day when we ask, Swami, am I closer to you today? Right? After having spent my, a decade, 2 decades, 1 month, 1 week with you, do I find myself more loving? Do I find myself, on the path? Do I feel closer to you? Right? If I don't, then there is something wrong. Right? So Saturday is a day for self-audit. And the last, which is Sunday, is, so often on Sundays, what is it? It's a weekend, right? We take off. Right? It is for experiencing the joy of the other 6 days. If you are able to experience the joy on Sunday, then you know that yes, this is a week well spent. Today, Swami, you can take me. Right? In fact, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, right, there's a very beautiful talk that you can listen to, is his commencement address to Stanford University students in 2005. It's there on YouTube. Again, good entertainment. He makes a beautiful point. So he says, you know, in that talk, that he contracted cancer, pancreatic cancer. In fact, he lost his life to cancer. And, you know, just imagine the founder of Apple, the richest man in the world, the best company in the world, the most admired, the most innovative, all of that, just like King Parikshit. Right? Just like King Parikshit. Probably Steve Jobs would be the equivalent of King Parikshit today. Right? Having everything at his fingertips. Right? A person like that was told by the doctor that, you know, it's time to wrap up. Right? When he was diagnosed with cancer, he was told that it is time to wrap up. Get your things in order. That's what they say in the United States. When they know you have a terminal issue, they will tell you, get your things in order, which means time to wrap up. You know, it is the end. Your the end is very close. So he says, when he heard that, he started questioning everything in his life. And he says, every morning he would ask himself one question. He would ask the person whom he would look in the mirror. Okay, which is he himself. He says, ask yourself this question, because he would ask himself this question. If today was my last day, would I be doing what I am going to do today? Right? If today was my last day, will I do what I am doing today? He says, if the answer to that is yes, then you are on the right path. If the answer to that is no, which means I am not doing what I am supposed to do if this was my last day, then know that something is going wrong somewhere. Do you have your priorities set out right? Right? If that day was your last day. This may sound fatalistic. Right? It sounds like, come on, don't be so negative. Right? It may sound fatalistic. But it is definitely, I don't intend it to be fatalistic. It is not like you walk away thinking, oh my God, is this my last day? No, it's not about fear. It's about joy. It's about celebration. If every day, if I consider it to be my last day, how will I be? I'll be the happiest person, right? I wouldn't want to even waste 1 minute being sad. Right? Why waste being sad? Be the happiest person. Love the people who are around you. Because you will probably never get to say Sai Ram to them again. Right? So, why not spend... So, the Sundays is in that Sakshatkar, is in that realization. So, Sakshatkar actually means realization. Right? So, Monday is about thoughts. Tuesdays is about words. Wednesdays is about deeds. Thursdays is about your inputs. Fridays is about your ambience. Okay, Saturdays is about the impact that all of this has made, and Sunday is a rest day wherein you experience all of this. And then we come back to the Monday, if God gives us one. Right? In fact, Steve Jobs very beautifully says in that, he says, if you believe that every day is your last day, one day you will be right, it seems. Right? Eventually one day will be the last day of your life. Right? So, how best or how better to know that our life is not an ordinary life, right? It's because we have a human birth, and more important than a human birth is we know God in human form, right? Our guru is not an ordinary guru. Our guru is Sadguru. He is the guru. There is nothing equivalent to him, and he shares every moment of our lives with us. Right? Can there be a better life? Probably never again in all our births together will we get an opportunity like this. That is why I feel, let's go for it. This birth, now or never. Right? This week, now or never. This 2018, now or never. Thank you, Sai Ram. Thank you.
Oh, Gopala Ghanashyamanandala.
Abounding.